The basic practice is always to relax into the ground of our being. This basic practice doesn't change. And then we need to know whether we need a support for meditation. Can I simply relax like that and stay without distraction? Or do I need a help, a support, like the breathing experience? And if you feel that it's good to have a support, then live the breathing experience, the experience of breathing in, the turning point, the breathing out, turning point. Live that experience as a support for relaxing, opening up into that basic being, this ground nature. We can open up into it as we breathe out. It's there at the lower turning point. We open up into it as we breathe in. It is there at the upper turning point. So let the breathing become a bodhicitta practice, a practice of being in the mind of awakening. And use sati, this capacity to remember the essential, use this capacity to remember to stay in that open, receptive dimension of being. And breathing is the wonderful help to do that. In meditation, there are basically two obstacles. Agitation, restlessness, or drowsiness, dullness. Now, they need a little bit different attitude. When we are drowsy and dull, we need to brighten up our awareness. And we need to develop a greater interest, a force of interest. Is what helps us to find back into that wakeful presence. And when we are restless, we have different possibilities. One is to look into the futility of the thoughts, the thinking processes, and to drop them because of not being interested in them. So we are not interested in the discursive mind, but very much interested in knowing its dynamic nature. We also work with the interest. This means the intention, that which really is our refuge, that which is really important to us. That should be the center of our practice. So for restlessness, agitation, we come back to what is the actual center of our interest and not the seeming point of interest in the discursive thinking. And for the drowsiness, we stimulate exactly that keen, wakeful interest. Or we say, look, I'm so tired, I better go to bed. Which is absolutely okay. You can do that anytime. To hang around in the middle is dukkha. You know, clarity is not dukkha. Wakeful presence, although it might be a little bit of dukkha because it's still dualistic, is not really suffering. When I feel that I fight with my mind, that actually means that I'm not quite decided. A little bit liking of the habitual tendencies and a little bit disliking, and then we have a fight. Wisdom cuts through, it makes it clear. This is where I want to be. This is what I practice. Okay. still have 25 minutes to go, but maybe it's a good moment to stretch, to change your posture. And you're also welcome to continue in standing position if that's convenient for you. In case you continue standing, take care to remain a little bit flexible in your joints so that you don't suddenly fall. for all of us, whether we are sitting or standing, I want to show you a little bit what I mean by flexibility of the body. Just reflecting, reflecting the mind. Look at my hips here. They can turn a little bit. I don't know if you can see that. Of course, I can make it stronger. Yeah, like a hula hoop. But it's a slight oscillation of the spine going all the way down into the pelvis, into the basin. So you allow for that, this flexibility here, and it travels all the way up the spine. And you can feel it as a slight flexibility of the head, the skull, sitting on the atlas. Slight flexibility here, you know, the upper part of your spine. And this flexibility of the spine is naturally present when there is no clinging to the posture. It is natural. This is how the body relaxes. We have tiny little muscles in the vertebra which continuously change. One contracts, the other relaxes, and this is how we keep the stability. They don't always contract in the same place. So, to learn that, you can exaggerate a little bit. It feels like, well, let's say it like this. You dance a little bit with the breathing. And for those who are still dancing, I see you're already doing it, or still standing. The dance continues down into the legs. There's slight changes in posture, slight ones. Finally, I'm talking about such slight changes that they are not perceptible from the outside, but inwardly you know them, you feel them. We are very elastic, we are meant for flexibility. This is true for our mind and it's true for our body. When in the mind there is clinging, it creates dukkha, and when in the body there is this fixation, then same unnecessary tension, and in the long run it will produce suffering, pain. Basically, what I do in my body is not that I move the body, but I give permission to all the structures, to the inside of the body, so to speak, that they can do these little liberating movements. They do it by themselves. For those of you who are into osteopathy, craniosacral therapy, then you know of those inner rhythms, those pulsations. And the idea in meditation is to allow for them to flow through. And a very crucial part of the body is the sacrum, the lowest part of the spine, where it goes into the lumbar region. A lot of clinging to meditation manifests there. See if you can go there with your mindfulness, with your love, and give it the permission to relax, to flow, to dance a little bit. Thank you so much. We now have a long stretch of walking meditation, which you can use as you like. I would like to add one perspective to this wonderful explanations already which Lila was giving. It's a typical Mahamudra instruction. Walk like a Buddha. That's all. How does a Buddha walk? I don't know. You find out. How does your Buddha walk? How does your Buddha walk and perhaps stand, turn around, perhaps look at someone, then without clinging, no clinging in the looking, no clinging in the walking. That's probably quite true for a Buddha. I guess we could safely say that there is no clinging. So connect with your own Buddha nature while walking. And that joins with this instruction from Thich Nhat Hanh, let the earth massage the foot, let the foot massage the earth. Let your ears love the sounds love your ears. You know, like go in all the senses and explore them. As you can do the movement of walking or standing, you can also use this time to lie in your bed. It's called lying meditation. It's very, I tell you, it's very helpful. I do it every night. Very helpful. So go for it. This is your time. This is your free time. 3/4 hour. Use it the best you can. And those who feel they want to sit, they sit. Just do what your Buddha tells you to do. Remember that. It's an easy way to enter into contact with the most simple aspect of our being, that aspect which is free. And if you have little difficulty of imagining how that could be, just think that the Buddha is walking next to you. And you're the daughter or the son of the Buddha, and you walk along. Like Rahula, his son, remember? He was one of the students of the Buddha later on. So walk along And look, and imitate a little. This Buddha which you imagine is also you. Okay? It's also a reflection of your own Buddha nature. So whichever way you do it, have fun. Really enjoy it. No stress.